First Samuel. First Samuel. You would stay right where you're at. Kids, listen up now. First Samuel, I love the book of First Samuel. It's a great book. I thought about doing it on Sunday night, preaching, teaching out of it on Sunday night. But I want to preach about a guy in here, and there's a lot of preaching in the book of Samuel. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and there was no king in Israel right this time. Saul doesn't show up till later. The children of Israel start telling Samuel they want a king. We want a king just like everybody else. We want to have just like everybody else got. And that's the biggest fight with your family today. Your kids, you go to school, they see kids that have other things. They want it. They want what they got. And you got to spend money to buy whatever it is. And so I'm not against that at all. But I tell you what, kids can want things like, sports, tennis shoes and all that stuff. My son Samson, I think he had a closet full of the tennis shoes. He had to have Michael Jordan shoes and all that stuff. And I said, you want that stuff, you're going to have to work for it. You pay for it yourself. And because them shoes were like $100 or something, $120. George was big on shoes. I mean, he would have shoes like galore. And he would always have these crazy looking shoes. And he'd come down the house, show me his shoes. But anyway, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And it says, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched besides Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they had joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. See, this is so amazing because Israel was not supposed to lose a battle. They weren't supposed to lose. They weren't supposed to lose any kind of battle as long as God was with them. If God's with them, they always won. And the Bible tells us that in the New Testament, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. We're supposed to be a victorious kind of Christian. Most Christians are not victorious these days. Most Christians are always living in defeat, always discouraged, always downtrodden, always depressed, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I realize if you just got saved and you come out of a bad life like I did. When I first got saved, I came out of a bad life and I had a lot of mess going on in my life and God started straightening out. But I tell you what, I didn't walk around depressed. I didn't walk around discouraged. I didn't walk around, defeated. I walked around encouraged and knowing that I was saved. Amen. And Christians shouldn't walk around like that. You should walk around, be encouraged because nobody's going to want what you got if you're always down and out. If you're always kind of bummed out and everything's turned to crud in your life. Nobody wants what you got. They want to see somebody's got it all together. They want to see somebody's got their life together, and man, God's blessing them. They want to see that kind of life. They don't want to see a kind of Christian that live like hell or lives one way out in the world and then one way at church and one way somewhere else. They don't want to see that, man. You say, well, I'm just trying to win them. I'm trying to be like them. That doesn't work. I'm going to tell you something right now. It don't work in this world. The world will call you a hypocrite and they'll mark you for what you are because they'll say you're just a hypocrite. You're no better than we are. So if you try to act like the world, live like the world, I'll tell you what, you're living a defeated life. You're not victorious in your life. So the Philistines, they came out and put the battle on the rail in array, and 4,000 Jews lost their life when they went into battle. And they said, what's wrong? They went, what's wrong? Man, where's God? Why is this happening? Because they weren't used to losing people. You read over in the book of Joshua. Joshua went against a little city called Ai. And they went up the city and 37 men or 39 men lost their lives. And they came back. They turned around and they said, man, this ain't right. It don't feel right. God ain't here. Let's go find out what was wrong. And they go back and they found out there was sin in the camp. And usually when there's defeat in a Christian's life, you're going to mark it down, their sin in their life. There's something going on that they're a secret thing, a secret sin in their life, and God's trying to deal with them about it, and they're trying to hide it, and God's going to bring it out in the open where everybody can see it. And I'm going to tell you something, the victorious Christian life it should be in every Christian's life. You should be able to have victory in your life. You should be able to have fruit in your life. You should be able to have a smile once in a while. I watched some of y'all come in on church Sunday morning. Man, you look like you just swallowed a banana upside down. You look like, man, you've been so down and out for so long that you look, man, I tell you what, there's no joy in your life. And the Bible talks about the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of God is joy, peace, and long-suffering. And when the Holy Ghost of God is in your life, there should be some joy. Even if you're going through a problem, there should be some joy down inside your life. Amen? Yeah. There should be something that springs up every once in a while. When we start singing songs, you're not looking around and looking down. You're singing songs because they're coming from a joyful heart. And the problem is something wrong with your heart. Amen? Yeah. And the Bible says this, that 4,000 men lost their life. Man, man, if we had to go into battle today, say we're all soldiers and we had to go into battle, would God be with us? Would God be with us? Would we have victory in our lives? Would we have something we could say, okay, God, we know you're on our side. We're going to go into battle. We're going to march into battle. And knowing God's on our side, you say, well, that's kind of foolish to think God's on your side. Every army that's ever been produced always feels like God is on their side. I tell you what, when, George Patton, when he, man, they said they needed to get to a certain place in Germany to be able to help this army company. They're going to be wiped out. And I remember George, in the movie they showed it, but in true life, George Patton called a chaplain over and called him in and said, and he's working trying to figure out how to get to the battle in the clouds. They didn't have, they had cloudy and rain and stuff. And he said, we need air cover. We got to have air cover. So he says, call the chaplain in here. And they called the chaplain in there, and the chaplain came in and said, well, yes, sir, what can I do for you, sir? He said, I need you to pray that God will clear the rain. It scared that chaplain half to death. I mean, he said, man, don't you have a connection with God? He said, yes. He said, well, then I need you to pray. Write a prayer so we can pray. And he wrote a prayer, and George Patton read the prayer and told God, said, Lord, we need you to do something. And God, you know the story. God opened up the clouds. I mean, the sun started shining, and they won the victory. And I tell you what, you ought to be able to get a hold of God, man, when you need to. I mean, there ought to be something in a Christian's life where, man, you shouldn't always be in defeat. You should, man, be able to have some victory in your Christian life. I mean, there should be able to hear God or talk to God. And the Bible says God answers prayer. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. Amen. Now, how come we don't get our prayers answered? Amen. There's something wrong in our lives. And 4,000 men lost their life. And when the people were come together into the camp, look at this. Verse 3. And the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? They said, man, something wrong. Now, look, you need to examine your life. And say, God, are you with me? Or am I with you? I should be with him. God, are you with us? And I tell you what, if God's not with you, I'm telling you something, you're sunk. If you're not with the Lord, you're sunk. God better be on your side. You better have God in your corner. And the Bible says this. They said, man, why has God smitten us today? You know, they blamed God. They blamed God. And the problem was, it was them. You know, isn't it something how people blame God for everything and the problem is usually with them or with their family? But they'll blame God. It's all God's fault. I tell people, don't you ever blame God for nothing. Don't you blame God. And people want to blame God for the loved one passing away. They want to blame God for this and blame God for that. It ain't God's fault. And he said, does God have power of death and life? Yes, he does. But the Bible says there's a point on the man wants to die, and after this is the judgment. Every man has an appointed time. I realize some people can cut their life off short. And the Bible says, and the people will come onto the camp, and the elders said, wherefore have the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that it cometh among us. It may save us. Notice they said, it may save us. They were putting more trust in the ark. They said, bring the ark in. The ark was about this size, maybe a little bit bigger. And the Levites carried that thing in on these posts that were dedicated. And they walked into the camp, and they had the cherubims up there, and they're facing each other, and their wings touching each other. And man, inside was the manna that the children of Israel ate while they were in the promised land. And then it says, or while they're walking in the wilderness, I mean. And then they had the Aaron's rod in there, and the thing budded. So here comes the priest carrying the thing in. And the Bible says, they said, let's go get the ark. We'll win. Let's go get the ark. We'll bring the ark in. And man, you know, they made that movie about, you know, Indiana Jones. And they showed that ark, you know, and all that stuff. And I told you that story about Buddy Cargill, man, when he went to see that movie, he was all discouraged and down and out. And they showed that part where they open up the ark and the angel comes out. And that thing goes around and Indiana Jones tells the girl, don't look at it, don't look at it. And it wipes out the whole place. The ark of God would do that. You read your Bible, when the ark of God went into a place, as long as God was in it or as long as God was on it. When God was on the ark, brother, I'll tell you what, they never lost. But what happened was God left it. God left that thing. And they said, let's get the ark. The ark is going to save us. They didn't say God's going to save us.
Amen.
See, people trust in relics.
Yep.
If you've got a relic in your house and you got some kind of statue or some thing, you're praying to idols.
Right.
You're worshiping idols. You've got a relic hanging on the wall. You say, oh, I pray to that over time. Or they pray to the saints. That's just like the Catholic Church.
Yep.
They pray the saints and they pray the relics. They bless them and all that stuff. And, you got some of the Pentecostals used to be, or the Charismatics used to send out a prayer cloth. And you pay $50 to get this prayer cloth and you'll get healed. It's just a con, man. Just a con. They would say that stuff. It's just a con, people. But here, the children of Israel, they didn't know defeat. Unless sin was in the camp. They didn't know it. Christian, you shouldn't know defeat. You shouldn't know it. Unless there's sin in the camp. And if you're comfortable living in the sin, then you'll never have victory. You might feel like you have a victory over this or over that. But when it comes to God, there is no victory. So if I want some money, well, that might be a little thing that... Man, I did this. No. When it comes to God, how many souls have you won?
Amen.
How many people have you told about him?
Amen.
How many of your relatives are going to die and go to hell before you open your mouth?
Right.
And the people were coming to the camp, and the elders of Israel said, wherefore have God smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us. The Ark of the Covenant was in Shiloh. And when it cometh among us, notice what it says. When it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from hence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. This Hophni and Phinehas, these guys were, you know what the Bible calls them? It calls them the sons of Beelii. They were priests of the high God, but he calls them the sons of Belial. Who's that? They're saying they're the sons of the devil. And they were the ones supposed to be ministering with the ark. Now, that's pretty sad. When God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is represented by two sons of Belial. That's pretty bad. God tells them in the chapter before, he talks to through a little boy named Samuel. God talks to this little boy named Samuel, and Samuel has God calls Samuel. He's in the temple ministering to Eli. Eli was the high priest. And he's in the temple, and Samuel gets dedicated by, if you read the first chapters, Samuel is a little baby that Hannah couldn't have a baby, and she said, God, if you'll give me a baby, I'll give it back to you. And she gives that baby back. And that baby, when the baby was weaned from his mother, she took that baby to the temple. And every year, that boy stayed right there of Eli. And the Bible says, Samuel did not let the word of the Lord fall. He didn't let one word of God fall to the ground. He had a fear of God in him. He was dedicated to God. And that little boy grew up in the temple. And he was service in the temple. And he honored God. In all the days of Samuel, he honored God. God even told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he was praying for Saul. And finally God says, that's enough. Don't talk to me about Saul no more. God talked to Samuel. Boy, that's something. When God speaks to your heart. And God can talk to you through his word. Amen. And he says he didn't let not one word. And Samuel got upset when the children of Israel said, make us a king. And Samuel went to God and said, they want a king. And the Lord said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they haven't, but they've rejected me. They rejected me, wanting a king. God says, give them a king. Samuel's dedicated. In the middle of the night one night, Samuel's sleeping. And the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up and he runs in there to Eli where he's sleeping. He says, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel goes back in. He gets down. He's a little boy. I'm talking about boy 10, 11, 12 years old. He lays down. And the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. Eli, he runs back in there. Did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. He goes back and lays down. And the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. He runs back and he says, did you call me? That'd be pretty irritating after a while. Three times that boy runs in there. And finally, Eli says, if you hear him calling you again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Samuel laying in bed, and the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord, and I imagine Samuel's probably shaking like a leaf. He probably went, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do to Eli. Can you imagine if God told you what he's going to do to somebody else that you love? Sure. Can you imagine if God said, I'm going to do this to him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cut him off. I'm going to cut off his seed. His sons, he says he did not restrain his son. Man, I tell you what, I got two sons and a nephew living in my house. Man, it bothered me that I read that thing over and over. I said, God, I don't want to be accused of not restraining my sons. I don't want to be accused by God to say, you didn't do nothing about it. And here these boys were in a position to serve God. They were in a position as priests, Hophni and Phinehas. You know what they did? They went and took the offering of God and went over and they said, hey, we want that meat right there. And they said, no, well, you got to wait till it gets sodden in the pot. You got to wait. And they said, no, you give it to us now or we're going to take it from you. That's right. By force. They despised the offering of God. You know, there's kids, they despise coming to church. They despise the reading of the Word of God. They despise, even adults, they despise praying. And they were raised in church. They were raised around the Word of God. They were dedicated to God. Hophni and Phinehas was dedicated. They despised it. The Bible even says they started laying with the women. They started sleeping with the women at the temple. And they just took God and took it for granted. And they said, man, we can do whatever we want. God ain't going to do nothing to me. You know, the Bible says if judgment doesn't happen, it's paraphrasing, if judgment doesn't happen to the wicked, it says they get evil and more evil all the time. They get more and more in Ecclesiastes. And that's why the Bible tells us about raising our kids, about correcting them. Amen. Correcting them. Training them, teaching them. And Hophni and Phinehas, they came with the Ark of the Covenant. And look what happens. The children of Israel, they started rejoicing, man. When the Ark of the Covenant came in, they went, woo, we're going to win now. It's like God is a genie. And whatever we tell God, he's going to do. Let me tell you something, Christian. We're his children. We are to obey him. He's not supposed to obey us. Children are supposed to obey their parents, not the other way around. Parents are not supposed to obey their kids. And they came into camp, Hophni and Phinehas, they came in like, woo, here we are, baby. We're rock stars. We're coming in. Look, we got the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to take it down. We're going to whoop some hind. We got it on, baby. They were priests of the Most High God. Eli couldn't see. He's like 90 years old. He's back in Shiloh waiting. He's waiting to hear what's going to happen. They go into battle with the Philistines. Look what happens. I don't even have time to finish this. I don't even have time. This is just getting this introduction. And look what the Bible says. And it says in verse 5 or verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh. that they might bring from hence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. Notice it says God dwelleth between the cherubims. And God's not in the box. God's not in the box. You hear what I said? He's dwelling in between the cherubims. He's got cherubims up in heaven all around him. What is amazing? If you can pray and get God to move on your behalf, it's good as done. It's good as done. If you can get God, the Bible says you've got to pray according to his will. If you can get God in on what you're doing and say, Lord, I'm trying to be in your will. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what's right. If you can get God in on the will, the will that God's got for you, I'll tell you what, it's as good as done when God's in on it. If God's not in it, brother, you can beat your head against the wall, beat your head against the wall, beat your head against the wall, and then you'll get mad at God because God didn't do what you wanted him to do. Look what the Bible says. In verse 4, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from hence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of the God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout. Here they are shouting, thinking the victory's coming, and it ain't. It ain't coming. Why? Because of the guys that brought in the Ark of the Covenant and who they represent. They represent Belial. They despise the covenant of God. They despise the word of God. They despise the offerings of God. They came in like they were rock stars. Look at us. We're here. We got the Ark of the Covenant. And all Israel shouts because of the Ark, not because of God. Check this out. It says, a great shout, so that the earth rang again. I mean, brother, there's thousands and thousands of men. I don't know if you ever heard thousands and thousands of men shout at one shot. Boy, I tell you what, it's like a lion roaring. When thousands of men will shout at the same time, and whenever they shouted, it was always a victory, always a victory. They talked about the Scottish regiments. Brother Bilbo was in the Scottish regiment. He said they wore the kilts and all that stuff. I thank God I got skinny legs. I mean, I'm glad I never was around that mess. And they wore the dresses and all that stuff, kilts, and they didn't wear any underwear under that thing. And Brother Bilbo said that all the men would put their underwear in their hat and they come out and they salute as they went. They weren't supposed to wear any underwear. I don't know why in the world they would do something like that. That's crazy. Can you imagine falling down the ditch and, man, all that happened? That's crazy. And these men wore around, and Brother Bilbo talked about these kilts. He said, man, the Germans called the Scottish regiment, they called them the sisters from hell. The reason why, the Scottish regiment, they weren't very smart. They would play their music and go into battle as they're playing. Now, that's where we get that, playing the music. But they would be in the front playing the music, and them Germans couldn't stand to hear them bagpipes. They would go, oh, that's them wretched things. They put their fingers in the ear. And they would go into battle with that stuff, man. And they would just, I mean, let them know miles and miles ahead that they're coming. And here they are. Here they come. And here Israel starts shouting, and the Philistines hears it because it shook the ground. But look what the Philistines said. I like what the Philistines said. And the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, verse 6, and they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Look what the Philistines said. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp? Little did Israel know, God wasn't there. And they said, woe unto us. Man, we're dead men. For there hath not been such a thing theretofore. And it says, there hadn't been nothing like this before. And they said, man, they were scared. They were shaking in their boots over this thing when the Ark of the Covenant came in. Now, folks, when you start praying, when we all start praying to God, there ought to be some shaking going on. Amen. There ought to be something, not with Elvis either. It should be some shaking going on. And it says, verse 8, woe unto us, for who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty, they made a big mistake, mighty gods. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. They knew about the book of Exodus. They knew what God did to Egypt. They knew God annihilated Egypt. Just with nature, he annihilated. You know what God's doing right now? I'll tell you what God's doing? He's warning America. with nature. So, oh, this is just coincidence. No, he's wanting the world with nature. The Bible says he's going to gather the eagles together. Man, can you imagine? He's warning America. He's warning the world. Get ready. And you know what happened? A lot of Christians, you talk to them, they say, well, I know he's coming back, but I ain't ready to go to church. I ain't ready to get right with God. Can you imagine, man? Can you imagine the Lord come like a thief in the night? And the Bible says the rapture is going to take place and Christians are living like hell. They say they believe God's coming back. They believe in fear of God, but they ain't living right. I'm going to tell you something, folks, with all my heart, before God, I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. Amen. My lifetime. Amen. That's why the devil's so working so hard against you. That's why the devil's working hard against families and marriages and children and, man, against the churches. He's working hard. We're in a battle. Amen. God better be in the camp.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If God ain't in the camp, we're stuck. We're messed up. Faith Baptist Church, I ain't worried about what other churches are doing. Thank God for all the Bible-believing churches. But I care about Faith Baptist Church. I want God in the camp. I don't want us to go out and imagine God's with us. I want God with us. How many of y'all can say amen to that? I want God in our homes. I want God at the table. I mean, not negotiating, but him at the table telling us what we need to do. There is no negotiations. God says, this is the way it is. You get in line. You're lined up to his will. We want to see people saved. We want to win the world. I told you in Sunday school, there's religions today. They said, we believe in bringing in the kingdom. We're going to bring in the kingdom and get the kingdom ready for Jesus to come. It ain't happening. We're losing there. You know, God's been good to this church. We've seen people saved. But we're losing the battle when it comes to discipleship. Making disciples. We're losing the battle. We're not doing our job there. Winning people to God. We haven't even got to the message yet. We haven't got there yet. I'm just going to finish up with this. Verse 9. I'll finish up with this. We'll get to this next time. It says, be strong. They were talking about men this morning. They were talking about men being men.
Sir.
Young men being young men. Not honoring the world Amen. With what God's given you.
Yeah.
Like Hophni and Phinehas despised it.
Right.
Here's men that were in position to lead Israel into victory. They were only priests, but they were priests of the Most High God. They were men in a position that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, they should have been praying, saying, God, be with us. All you men need to sanctify yourself before God. Get rid of the idols, like Moses and Joshua said. Get rid of the strange gods that are among you. Clean your house. Get things right in your heart. Hophni and Phinehas didn't do this. They didn't do that at all. They came in like rock stars. Look at us. And, you know, I've slept with your wife. Yeah, I've slept with your wife. I've got your woman. Yeah, I got her. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I'm cool. I did all that. You know, what bothers me is young people wanting to be just like the world. Be like the rock stars of the world. Be like the rock stars. When God's called us in the ministry, everybody in this room, you're in the ministry. If you're saved, you're in the ministry. You're in the ministry of the saints. We have a job to do. And when you shuck on your job like Hophni and Phinehas, you're not doing your job. God told Samuel, he said, Samuel, here's what I'm going to do to Hophni and Phinehas. I'm going to cause a battle. Can you imagine God's going to cause a battle just to get to you? God said, I'm going to cause a battle, and Hophni and Phinehas is going to be called, and that's going to be their end. God have mercy.
Yeah.
What has God got planned for you?
Yeah.
He's either got blessings planned for you,
yeah.
Victories,
yeah.
Or he's got death and destruction.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees are the Philistines. I said Pharisees. The Philistines, Be strong. Quit yourself like men. Here's what Israel should have been saying. Israel should have said, hey, be strong. They should have went around. Hophni and Phinehas should have went around and said, hey, our God's great. Our God's great. He's going to bring us through this.
Amen.
We got the victory. Yeah. Greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. They should have been the ones going around preaching. They should have been the ones encouraging the people. They didn't do that one bit. They didn't do that. They just thought they were, because they showed up, God's got to bless me. A lot of Christians act that way. They think, if I just show up, God's got to bless me. God's not your genie. God's not your ATM. No, he's not. God cleaned up my life and started little by little. Started cleaning my life up. And I kept, what he did in my life, the troubles came, I kept yielding. Yeah. As a Christian life, it's a constant yielding.
Yes, sir.
Yielding.
Yeah.
Yielding. Oh, Stevie Wonder said, you know, Stevie Wonder got, what's his face, the 49ers coach, quarterback. And Stevie Wonder said last night, they were at a meeting, and Stevie Wonder, he says, well, I'm going to take a knee. He had Colin Kaepernick. And these guys taking a knee in football games, everything, saying, I don't want to stand up for the national anthem. I don't want to stand up for that. Here, everything they have, everything they own, all the money that they made was given to them, the people that gave their life for this country. They get on there. And Stevie Wonder got in on the act, and he says, well, I'm just going to bow both knees. And he said, I'm going to talk to God. And I thought, that was good. But man, the Bible says the Philistine said, be strong. You know what the Bible tells us in the New Testament? Be strong. Yeah. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's women too. Yeah. Women and men, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I talked to my daughter Ruth today. Wish her a happy birthday. She's 39 today. And you know, my daughter Ruth, she almost started crying on the phone. She said, Daddy, I love you. Thank you for raising us. Be strong, Ruth. Be strong, Rachel. Be strong, Becky. Be strong, Josh. Be strong, Samson. Be strong, Chris. Be strong, Mike. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. God is a God of strength. And when we draw for his strength, we're strong. Be strong. Quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. This Christian life, if you haven't realized it by now, this Christian life is a fight. And it's not fighting against each other. If you're fighting against each other, that's not a good fight. If you're fighting against, you know, your wife, that's not a good fight. You're fighting against your husband, that's not a good fight. You're fighting against your kids, that's not a good fight. If you're fighting against this world and the flesh and the devil, that's a good fight. Quit yourself like men. Be strong. Father, Lord God, thank you for your word.